Chapter 14. The Cross Bronx Expressway isn't as bad as it used to be, but still, Poppy saw that Pam Grier movie, Fort Apache, the Bronx, and she had no desire to pull her van over and meet the locals before arriving in Provincetown. "Only my father can help us now," she announces to her followers, and they give her a rousing cheer back. Yes, technically, she knows he was a motherfucker, but if he hadn't had sex with Marcia, Poppy wouldn't have been born. Never would she have become the chosen leader of this joyous jumping lifestyle. She hasn't seen him in decades, but maybe it's time for a reunion. Maybe her father wants Marcia dead, too. Yet her gang is in trouble. She can see that. Poppy's just fine. She continues to bounce in her seat at a steady rate that causes no attention from other motorists passing by, yet produces that special rhythm she needs to enhance her mind-body-spirit connection. But how about her grandmother? Adora knows she's a little old to bounce, but should she pretend to shake to show affirmation to this new gang of Marcia-hating, what, militants? Outsiders? Yes, that's the word young people use today, isn't it? Ejecting outsiders. Just saying this term mentally makes Adora feel younger. Her dog, and she knows the word dog is now considered judgmental and somewhat imprisoning, seems accepting of her master's first attempt at sideways quivering, so why not give this whole new lifestyle the old college try? Is that surprise purring? Yeah, she's purring like the proud cat she's decided to become. Can a dog even be cross-species, Adora ponders? Why not? Anything is possible in this eccentrically utopian lifestyle she's been catapulted into. But does Daryl really need to still have his penis out? Richard seems nice enough, and his shaking isn't in actual fact sexual, and she won't take it personally, but for a woman of her generation, admit it, it still takes a little time to get used to. Just when Daryl and Richard are perfecting shaking together rather than bouncing, they start to lose power in their magic fingers. Campolina is already out of juice, but has found one lone quarter in the bottom of her handbag to load in and buy a little more shaking time. "We need change," pleads Twisted Billy, contorting himself to look under the front and the back of a row of seats for any spare quarters that may have fallen under. Doubleback Barbara tries to jerry-rig her phone charger to the Magic Fingers motor, to no avail, and Springboard Sam, practically motionless as the spasm of his device sputters to a stop, is frantically trying to hook up the relaxation system to the Easy Pass transponder attached to the front windshield, but no dice. "How about the car battery?" Poppy shouts, proud of herself that she's not pointing out the practical limitations of shaking versus bouncing. "That won't work," yells a panicked and suddenly sideways-deprived Daryl as he defaults to vertical movement while his inert penis, Richard, panics and begins to soften. "We need a power source," the suddenly limp one yells, trying to shake on his own without the help of magic fingers, but only succeeding in wobbling. Poppy knew this would happen. Splinter groups like Shakers need time to assimilate into a movement, yet by bouncing may be the future, and she has to accept that fact. "They need coins," yells Leaper, her toned excess body tissue still a-flapping, as she stubbornly bounces, a traditionalist to the end. "But your goddamn mother even took the nickels." "Pull over," shouts Richard through the rubbery hole at the end of his defeated shaft. And while Poppy doesn't like taking orders from anybody, especially a weakened penis, she knows her gang of movers and shakers are on their last legs, so to speak. Her vehicle doesn't need gas yet, but her followers sure do. Here's an exit, Third Avenue. Sounds innocent enough, but this is the Bronx, don't forget. Last exit to Brooklyn might be nothing compared to this. As Poppy veers down the off-ramp, her original bouncers try to be understanding and give moral support to the newly shaken, who've panicked at having no choice but to sit still. Twisted Billy and Campolina try to get back to bouncing, but after they've tasted the shakes, it's just not the same anymore. "There's a laundromat," shouts Campolina in excitement, her head hitting the roof of the van painfully once again because of her militant body self-projection. And they'll have a change machine, hollers Daryl, getting her drift as he half-heartedly tries to go back to bouncing. But his quivering muscles go slack, and he quickly begins building back up the tension shaking had released so remarkably. Richard tries to cheer along with the rest of the special needs movers, but is so flaccid they don't even hear his muffled cries of support. Surprise lets out a yowl of territorial concern that could pass muster in any clouder of cats, no matter how skeptical some of them might be. Dat? Cog? What's the right term? It doesn't matter anymore. Surprise is now part of the gang. When they rush inside, Poppy in the lead, of course, they are surprised to see the laundromat, which is so generic it doesn't appear to have a name, is actually crowded. Good. They need funds, a war chest, quarters to feed the addictions of their guerrilla movement that needs movement. The non-bouncers, doing their laundry, look up in dumbfounded awe from their wet clothes, towels, and bedding as the desperate motion maniacs bound past them, some hopping, others still trying to shake. Quarters now, Poppy demands in an authoritarian voice as she snatches a roll of coins from a white mule-faced girl with a gray ponytail who is about to feed the washer's sloth. Hey, lay off, she sputters in confusion, but Poppy has already bounced up so high she is out of reach. Volta leaps up on top of a washer, hops to another, and lands right in front of the change machine, just as it spits out 80 quarters from a $20 bill. Sorry, she snaps to the tough-looking dame with rollers in her hair as she scoops out the lady's coins with her one good hand into an empty coffee cup she has grabbed on the last hop down. That's for my dryer, the fleshpot growls as she lunges at Volta before she can spring back up. As they battle for laundromat change, Campolina grabs a wet towel out of a Jamaican lady's hamper and snaps it like a whip, hitting her middle-aged ass. That fucking hurt, she yells in a post-rinse cycle rage. We're on a move, hoo-hoo, springboard Sam and doubleback Barbara weakly yodel in unison. So disabled by going shaking cold turkey that they don't bother explaining to the clueless launderers their political reference to John Africa's Philadelphia Back to Nature activist group, MOVE. A would-be hero, some Puerto Rican tough guy with dandruff and a poorly inked neck tattoo that reads R-E-V-O-L-T, tries to grab Daryl, who is feebly attempting to go back to jumping until he can recharge his worn-out battery of shakiness. Richard comes to Daryl's rescue by shooting a surprisingly strong stream of urine right into the attacker's face, which turns Mr. Revolt into Mr. Revolting faster than the ballpoint ink dries on the page of this book I'm writing here today. Pandemonium breaks out. The mule-faced girl tries to throw the contents of her small box of Tide into Poppy's face. But an environmentalist-type male college student grabs the box of toxic crystals from her hands and smugly pours them in the trash. An old homeless guy who is sadly trying to erase the stains from his underwear with Clorox bleach puts the cap back on and throws the whole bottle to an old strumpet who catches it, uncorks it, and splashes out the liquid toward Campolina, who does what any self-respecting drag queen under duress would do, given the circumstances, and lowers her scalp so the whitener hits her dark roots she hasn't had a free minute to touch up. Yeah, it stings, but so what? Who has time for beauty parlors when you're a revolutionary? Our tattooed tough guy gets the bright idea he can jump, too, but when he leaps up on a dryer that is overloaded, the machine starts making scary knocking and thumping sounds and then lurches side to side. As Tattoo Neck struggles to balance, Twisted Billy is so furious to see a non-movement civilian parroting their exciting new gymnastics that a fresh wave of shaking pride sweeps over him, and using his last ounce of adrenaline combined with extreme flexibility, he bends backward all the way until his fingers touch the floor, raises one leg up, does a full split, and elegantly quivers over on his elbows to the enemy pseudo-shaker without once losing his balance. One kick of his split legs does the trick. The failed would-be human hand buzzer falls off the dryer to the linoleum floor where he belongs. The Shakers begin shoving quarters into their attached magic fingers devices and immediately start vibrating sideways in ecstasy. Poppy and the Tramps run interference, bouncing and hopping spasmodically to frighten and block the attacking irate laundromat customers who feel their wash day has been unfairly interrupted. Suddenly, the roar of an engine is heard, and all eyes turn towards the front window where they see in the distance a shaking Adora behind the wheel, speeding the hopping lowrider van straight towards them. The customers dive for cover, and Poppy and her gang hop and vibrate with new fanaticism. Adora crashes the van right through the front windows, breaking and splintering the wood and smashing the vehicle directly into the change machine, which knocks over but still doesn't split open. Not to be stopped, she turns her old age into rage, backs up the van, takes aim, and floors it again, ramming the stubborn little piece of metal for the second time. The customers run outside, a few of them attempting to drag their still-wet laundry with them, while Poppy and crew cheer Adora on. One more time, she peels rubber and rams the change machine, and this time, it works. Coins scatter everywhere. It's a gold mine of magic fingers power. Daryl is stuffing quarters in its device so fast that Richard panics and warns him of shaking overdose possibilities. But Daryl is such an addict, he throws caution to the wind and turns up the speed to beyond high. Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara are already quavering full force, harmonizing nonsense Western swing lyrics that only sound more bluegrass when they are sung out with vibrating vocal cords. Twisted Billy is flipping coins dramatically with his hands, feet, and even his tongue, and unbelievably, the quarters always land dead center in everybody's magic fingers acceptor slots. Campolina is stuffing the excess 25-cent pieces up inside her fake pubic hair cheater wig, like a crazed squirrel hides nuts for a winter day. It's not easy being a drag warrior, but when you're a shaker, it's even harder. Poppy, Volta, and Lipa, the old guard of bouncers, help Adora out of the van, and the newly agitated Shakers join them in cheering her courage. Adora beams in acceptance, a surprise, finally feeling welcome, jumps into her arms as the fully evolved creature she has become, and convulses in fluidity. Adora smothers her with kisses and joins in the animal's vibration with newfound enthused aggression. Even Richard echoes the other's ovation, erect again from the surge of quarter-driven energy. Surprise begins barking and purring as she shakes, no longer attempting to pass as any kind of pet, yet proud to finally be herself, even with all the complications. A siren is heard in the distance. Will the world ever understand?